Praise the Lord. It's good evening. Let's open our Bible in the book of James, chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1. And you read verse 2 to verse 4. Here our message tonight is the value of trials in our life. Why the Lord allows trials of different kinds in our life. There's a purpose. And here Apostle James said to them, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for tonight. We bless you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Anoint, Lord, my lips, and put word and statement and verses, and direct the message with the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to help us to recover, to help us to go on in serving you, doing the very things, O God, that you want us to do. I pray that we are fruit, that we people saved, that people tonight come to know you. Take this message, O Lord, and bring with it healing and health and wholeness and guidance and wisdom and humility to each and every one of us. Sustain us and help us to persevere till, Lord, we are completely being perfect, entire, wanting nothing, and whole in your sight. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is what we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here Apostle James, what he say, count it all joy. And I am sure that every one of us, including myself, when we have any problem, whether small or big, we are upset about it. But why he say count it all joy? Because with the trials, there'll be always a blessing and lessons and things God entitled for us to become better and whole and entire. What is the value of trials in our life? What is the fruit of trials? Is it not the negative things, but it is the positive things always. As we continue to the end of the lesson, we may come to know God through trials. Many people, they will not come to the Lord unless they are in severe pain and trials, and they had to try all their own they can, their parents, their experiences, people, circumstances, and when all closed, they will just try to come to God and face the cross of Jesus and take the decision. Birth process is always painful, and Christ say, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And birth process always painful, and the trials are the birth pain for those who in newborn, those who receive Christ and surrender their life unto Him. Why? Trials and temptations are having value in our life. During the time of trials and temptation, we draw near to God and we start to trust Him more and more. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trials will help us to trust God and to trust him more and to trust him also alone. Trials will help us that whatever we are prepared, whatever we are back up, but still it is only the Lord himself will be able to sustain us during these trials. And the Lord will always allow what we trust for and what we are safe about, that God will use it to bring the threat and danger, so that no more we put fully our trust on certain things, but we will always direct to trust him alone. Sometimes we trust people, but God will use the same people to cause trouble to you, so that he will tell you, don't put the trust on those and those. God may use people, but our full trust should be on his word, and as we trust him, we obey fully his commands. Certain times, even we are surrounded by a good number of people, and they are willing to do all that they can to help, but they will not be able, they will not be eligible or capable to do the things that we need in order just to tell us that you know that your life and living does not depend on people, on your own understanding or what you plan on or what is the scenario that you want to pass this trial. But it depends on him, the one who cared for us, the one who created us, and the one who lead us step by step to become entire, mature, and perfect. What is the value of trials? Trials teach us to pray. Many times when we are relaxed and things go well and smooth, we forget prayer, we forget to pray more. Our prayer time will be less. Our required time will be also less. We forget to kneel down, or we are lazy to kneel down. But when trials come, we find ourselves, we are enforced to put the full armor of God once again alert. Once again, going back to the basic things, prayer, kneeling down, fasting, keeping empty stomach, waiting upon the Lord to help us, to deliver us from our troubles. Fasting is also inviting the Holy Ghost to work in our behalf to deliver us and to give us wisdom how to deal with certain situations that need tactfulness and precise decisions. In the book of James chapter 5, and verse 17 and 18, what trials help us to develop prayer. We pray more, we pray continuously, and also we pray earnestly. James chapter 5 verse 17 and 18 say, Phineas was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here we learn from Elias, that's Elijah, that we need to pray earnestly. He prayed earnestly that should be no rain. That was the leading of the Holy Spirit. No rain. So the people will be back directed to him. And that also Elijah or Elias will have opportunity to minister to the people when they face the situation of no rain and no blessing. And when he achieved God's purpose, as we know, in the Mount of Carmel, he prayed also earnestly that God would send a rain, and the Lord sent also rain. So trials put us back again to the life of prayer and fasting, and maybe that's the time that we go back to God in the prayer and fasting more, seeking Him to help us in our temptations and trials. What is the value of trials in our life? Trials help us to repent. Help us to lead us to repent from our sins and our shortcomings. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 5, and verse 25. Book of Jeremiah chapter 5:25. Say, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sin have withholding good things from you. Trials, certain time, God use it to show us that our sin and our iniquities that we have done in the past have taken away certain good things and certain blessings. That's why the trials, as God shows us what is the outcome of what we did, the trials will help us to go back to God and to repent, so to restore back with the thing that withhold from us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, so there's sins, and there's the outcome of these sins, and there's also the consequence of the sins that we need to bear. In the book of Hebrews also chapter 12, the Lord may also discipline us, and the discipline of the Lord lead us also to experience pain, and that pain will also lead us to repentance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. So here the Lord chastises us because he loves us, and he is dealing with us as his own children. If not, when we do wrong things, and God will not do anything about it, or he will not deal with us as if something had not yet happened, then we are not the children of God, we are bastards. One of the things that proves that you are a child of God, and God called you when He chastened you after your wrongdoing. In verse 9, I will continue to verse 12. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. So here the Lord purpose of chastening and causing us pain in order that we will be taking share in His holiness. God is holy, and He wants also His people to be holy. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be thrown out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So here, the purpose of God of chastening is like medicine, painful procedure, but He imparts holiness unto us and help us to yield peaceable fruit of righteousness, and that is the exercise that God wants us to be trained on. When we do wrong, then He chastens us. Then the outcome of that process, when we take it wholeheartedly, although it is painful, as He says, strengthen your feeble hands and also knees, then that will be our existence. Every trial, the purpose of it is to be put you back to a better person, more perfect, more entire, more whole, trying of your faith. Our faith is that as God loves us, He will deal also with us when we deviate from the right way. What is the value of trials more in our lives? Trials show us the glory of God and the power of God Almighty. In the book of John, chapter 11, and verse 40, John chapter 11, verse 40, the Lord says to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, when He went to them, and on the fourth day after His burial, after the burial of Lazarus, He said to her, Jesus say unto her, say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. When trial comes, before the trial our faith is weak, but the trial will empower us to develop that faith that would enable us to see the glory of God in our life. The first things when a problem will come to our mind, how the Lord will going to solve this issue or that problem. Or certain time we may have some previous experience of it, but every trial it has a certain course and procedure, and God had a purpose, and the scenario would be different from issue to issue, case to case, and from time to time. But in the middle of all that, there is what is called the unexpected miracles and wonders and intervention of God of with His people. The story I'm going to share is from the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, when the people of the Lord, after the Exodus, they left Egypt and they were heading toward the sea. The Lord that was directing them toward the sea, and where behind them is the army of Pharaoh and his big army with the chariots, and the Israelites were went out from Egypt carrying their things unarmed, no, they don't have armed any weapons with them, but they were only trusting God. They were led by the Lord by the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire during the night. And let's see how, let's read how they faced that trial. You see, there's certain time that all your labor of the whole years of life, experiences, relationship, people around you, financial factors, strength factors, health factors, it will not be suitable to be used for certain situation. That is all because God wants you to know that you need to fully and only trust Him and obey Him, and He will be the one to lead you out of it, step by step. A scenario we need to pass through it, and this is spiritual battle. And Moses said unto the people in verse 13, fear ye not. This is the first encouragement of Moses to the people, fear not. As we are sure of what God is speaking and leading us, we should not be afraid. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Forever. God had promised them here through the prophet Moses that they will be delivered completely from the Egyptians. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The Lord, in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. He assured them, even if you don't have weapons, you are not armed, you don't have chariots, since you have set your heart to follow God, the Lord will fight for you, and He shall hold your peace. Get your peace. Trust God. If you have not done anything wrong, then nothing in your hand to do. That's the time that fully you need to trust God. If there is anything wrong, you have to correct yourself. If God has spoken to you to do certain things, then do that part. That is, you have to trust God and live in peace. These moments that you really need to wait only upon God, not on yourself or on somebody else, whoever you are, God will allow this to happen. So He will be the Lord over your life, and you will be able to see the glory of God. In verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Here the leader, he asked them to go forward, and in the front of them is the sea. I don't know if they had love on him or... Yeah. Like in the front of you a wall, and the leader say you go ahead, and there in front of them is the sea, and the Lord told him, let the people go forward, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea. This is where the glory of Gilgal start to fall. There are two problems. The first problem is the sea. The second problem is the army behind them, and there's a timetable. They cannot freeze there or make pause to the trial. Sometimes we want to make pause for the trial, but there's no such facilities. Certain time, even you want to freeze it, you want to stop it, can you give me a space for to think about it? But you need to go on. That's why certain time God wants us to fully trust Him, so that we will not think about our own preparation. Go forward, raise up your hand, divide the sea. And the seed of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. How to get a dry ground in the sea, that is only God can provide at that. At that instance and at that moment. But lift up thou rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the seed of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. See, certain time we are expecting during the trials, the people will stop in their heart. But here he says, I will harden their heart. Up to that point, God wants to train us to go through it. In verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them. You see here, the trial is going on. God told Moses to let the people go, then he told them, raise up your hand and divide the sea. And then now the second movement of God, that's why we need to observe during the trial what God is doing. We have to be sensible, because these are the milestones for us to pass through trials and hardship. Not only to fully trust God, but we need to be observant of what God is doing. He divided the sea. He gave the instruction to Moses to divide the sea. Then now the pillar of cloud went, moved behind them. What is the purpose of the pillar of cloud to move behind them? The pillar of cloud is, they will see during the day. But in the night, the pillar of cloud, its ruler and purpose will be replaced by the pillar of fire. So in the night they have pillar of fire. What had happened in that night, in the front of them was the pillar of fire. The pillar of cloud did not disappear, but the pillar of cloud went behind them in order that the light of the pillar of fire will only be shade on the Israelites. But when it reached the pillar of cloud, the light of it would be not allowed to go to the Egyptian army. So they will be in darkness. The people of God will be in light. The enemy will be in darkness. So trials in our life will lead us to see the glory of God in this expression of faith. Our faith will be enlightened. We can see better during trials as we are in fasting and praying, on kneeling down and trusting God, relying on His promises. We can see better things. And it came, verse 20, it came between the pillar of cloud and came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was the cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these So that the one came not near the other, or the, and here the Lord secured that the enemy at the path, at the back, would not be able to reach his people, and also the first enemy, the sea. Here the sea is, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waves were divided. See here, the third problem that God allowed during the night is the wind. There's wind now. The first problem is the sea, second problem is Pharaoh army, the third problem is the wind. But the wind here was not used to harm the people, but was used to help the people. Sometimes during trials, you say, why there's another problem coming now? It is not a problem. God sends such problems, additional, so that you can clear certain problem in your life. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariot and his horsemen. So here you see three enemies, three forces around the people of God. Army of Pharaoh, the water, and the wind. But all of them, they were balanced by the power of God. But that's where walking on the rope by faith in God. Wind is going, they look to the right, to the left, there is a wall of water. In the front, pillar of fire. At the back, pillar of cloud. The enemy is there. The three enemies, the wind and the water and the man power, are there around it, but they are controlled by God Himself. And that's what we say, that God is in control about the situation. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they had, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighting for them against the Egyptians. Now God interfered further. He used the wind. He looked to the camp of the Egyptians, the army of Egyptians, through the first pillar of fire and the second pillar, and he sent wind to trouble them, to stop them from following his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptian fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptian in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariot and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land, out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant. Moses' trial ultimately show us the glory of God and lead us to fear the Lord and to fully trust Him. He should be the only one that we need to keep in our life. If we ought to lose certain things, it's fine, but not the Lord in our life, because in the trials, no one can help us, take us out. Only He. Let's all stand, meditating on His goodness and His mercy, trusting God that whatever trial that you are passing through, that the Lord is there to help you, to lead you out of it step by step, timetable. You need to trust, obey God. If there is repentance needed, go through it. If you need, there is chastisement, accept it. Develop faith. Trust Him that God will do certain things beyond what you expect to solve that particular problem and bring you to the new stage of your life, to be a better person, entire, whole, perfect. Thank you, God. For me to draw near to you, you hold yourself in prayer, humanity. Yes, O God, thank you, Lord, for your word.
You did not wait for me.
We trust you, Lord. let your glory reveal. Increase our faith, deliver us from the evil one. Truly God, we thank you for your word that always you send to strengthen our heart, to restore us to bring peace. Oh God, I pray, strengthen the hand of all the workers and members and ministries, those who are here and those who are far away. Use this message to revive, to bring faith, to heal, to help, to bring hope and guidance, oh God, and humility. Lord, I pray for testimonies, I pray for miracles, I pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit as you led Moses to raise up his hand and the sea divided. Lead us, O God, to do the needful so that we'll be out and we'll be secure. Manage the whole night, O God, as you manage the dark night when the Israelites went out of Egypt and you delivered them. You were light to them. Be light unto us, O God. Let be darkness in the enemy's sight, in the name of Jesus. O God, help us to reach the next coast. We thank you and we bless you. Lord, bless us indeed. And Lord, our territory, God, let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.